Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. He would love to see Major League Baseball return to Montreal, even if it meant their mascot, Yuppie, had to return as well. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but remember a couple of nights ago how Twitter was all aflame with Boston Globe report that the Blue Jays were going to make an offer for Pablo Sandoval within the next 24 hours, which was entirely against everything I'd been told. So I sent a text message to somebody with the Jays and said, can I shoot down this rumor? And the response was, yeah, with a bazooka. The Jays did not make an offer to Pablo Sandoval yesterday. And Alex Anthopoulos, after signing Russell Martin, made it pretty clear that he was not preparing any offers for anybody, whether it be Pablo Sandoval or John Lester. And point of fact, if anything, I asked somebody yesterday, how would you describe the Blue Jays' interest in any free agent out there right now? And the response was, well, with the exception of Andrew Miller, I would just say that we're monitoring things. And that was the word that was used. We're monitoring things. So I don't think the Jays are going to make a big offer to Pablo Sandoval or any offer to Pablo Sandoval or John Lester. I've never actually believed they've been fishing in those waters. I do think Alex Anthopoulos has a couple more moves to make. I thought he was pretty clear yesterday that Deonor Navarro will be traded. And equally, I came away with the feeling that Alex Anthopoulos had moved beyond Melky Cabrera, which I think a lot of us expected, although I still think for some reason that Billy Butler contract just sticks out in my mind. I don't know if that potentially drags Cabrera a little closer to the Blue Jays, but you really got the sense that for now, at least, Alex Anthopoulos is focused on making trades. And whether that's some combination of Deonor Navarro plus a pitcher, whether it be Jay Happ or R.A. Dickey or whoever it is, you get the sense that Alex Anthopoulos thinks he's got one more move to make, one pretty significant trade to make, and then they'll go after Andrew Miller. Shai Davidi is our MLB insider at Sportsnet. He has done yeoman work in the past couple of days in the story. Shai, thanks so much for joining us on the Jeff Blair Show this morning. We'll talk about Russell Martin in a minute and about yesterday's news conference. But I want to ask you, where do you think Alex goes next?
Well, I think your assessment was bang on, about as bang on as it gets. I really think that the next move will probably be a trade, probably one of the guys that you mentioned. But I'm curious to see what he gets back. Whether he finds some help for the bullpen, or he looks for an outfielder or maybe an infielder at this point. I mean, those are clearly the areas of priority, and they're going to have to do something in the bullpen, and they're going to have to do something reasonably significant, because they just don't have enough back-end pieces right now, particularly with the way the game is starting to be played, where, you know, if you get six innings out of your starter, that's good, and you better be able to lock down 7, 8, 9 with your pen. So I don't think they have those pieces in-house right now. They're going to have to get at least one or two guys there who can have an impact. So that to me is where the next focal point it ends up being. And one thing, it's becoming apparent that they're really going to have to consider, is that whoever ends up playing left field, they might be smart in getting a guy who can also play some center field if needed. Mm-hmm. Because I really think they need another insurance policy behind Dalton Pompey and Kevin Pillar. Because if one of those guys get injured, they really don't have much of an alternative behind them.
Shai Davidi joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It seems pretty apparent, I think, Shai, that Deonor Navarro will be moved. I think Alex was about as clear as you can be yesterday in saying that. And I don't think they're not going to rush. I mean, if there's nothing for him, I fully believe that Alex is being true to his word. And he says, you know, if we don't like what we can get for him, we'll bring him to spring training and he can always DH or catch for a couple of days. But everything I know we've spoken about this, everything we've been told leads us to think that there's a pretty active market for Dion or Navarro, isn't there? And what are some of the teams you think we should keep an eye on? Teams that have a particular need for a guy like Navarro, especially in the short term. You know, we talk about Chicago. They've got a kid, Kyle Schwarber, who most people think could be in the majors in 3 years, maybe four at the outside. Where do you think DeAndre ends up going? And what are the teams do you think that will be interested in him?
Well, I think you look at the handful of teams that will be looking for a catcher, and there's a lot to like about Gianni Navarro. I mean, it's a one-year contract at $5 million for a guy who gives you reasonable defense and good game calling behind the plate and some offensive contributions. So I don't think it would be difficult for them to trade him at all. And then you think about the runners-up for Martin, you know, like the Dodgers and the Cubs. They could very well decide, you know, this is a reasonable alternative for them to pursue. You know, the Texas Rangers are thought to be looking for catchers. The Colorado Rockies were thought to be looking for catchers as well. So I think there are enough teams out there that the Blue Jays will certainly find a willing partner. The question is, what are you going to get back in return? What makes the most sense?
Shai Davidi joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. You detailed on Sportsnet.ca in your article today the Jays' pursuit of Russell Martin. And I wasn't surprised when I found out the Jays were interested in Russell Martin. I wasn't really surprised when they signed him. But Shai, I've got to admit, the details in your story, I was really surprised at how much they pursued him. Like, it's pretty obvious. This was their number one target. And Alex spent an awful lot of time and an awful lot of energy trying to get this thing done, didn't he?
Yeah, and what's really fascinating to me is the contrast between other pursuits of free agents, and they haven't been very active. The one guy that they sought or tried to sign pretty aggressively was Anibal Sanchez a couple winters ago. And Alex and Tony flew out to Miami. They met with him. They met with his entire family and tried to get a deal done before the GM meetings really early in the winter. And the Sanchez camp was adamant about playing the market out, and ultimately he stayed in Detroit. But this was a big departure for the Blue Jays because, one, they found someone, a big-name free agent, who seemed legitimately interested and obviously was, as it turned out. And, you know, once they realized that they weren't going to have a real shot at Victor Martinez, who they were also really interested in, they made Martin their focus. And, you know, Alex at one point jokingly said to Matt Colleran, Russ Martin's agent, just so you know, I'm signing the player. And, you know, he wasn't being serious. He was just joking around after they were having some back and forth. But that determination, that aggressiveness became clear to them early on, and it was demonstrated throughout the process. And I really think it helped tip the scales at the end because Russ Martin really felt that the Blue Jays wanted him more than anyone else.
Shai Davidi joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It was interesting watching that news conference yesterday and the body language, both of Alex and Russell Martin. I actually ran into Russell here when he came in to do primetime sports. Actually, we were both in line at Tim Hortons, getting a coffee. I interviewed Russell when he was like a 20-year-old kid at the Dodgers camp, and I was still living with Eric Gagne at the time. He really is a, you know, you don't want to build a guy up too much, Shai, but he is really a player and the type of guy that I think Toronto fans are really, really going to like, aren't they?
Yeah, and what's interesting is that, you know, Blue Jays fans tend to love the blue-collar, gritty type of guys. And generally, those guys don't come with big contracts. But Russ Martin is that high-priced player, but he's also really the blue-collar type. You know, he gets dirty, he grinds, he battles, he competes, and he shows up every day. And I really think that Blue Jay fans will quickly look past the dollar number attached to his AAV and really just embrace him for the player that he is. And we've seen it across the diamond over the years with the Dodgers, the Yankees, and then the Pirates. But he's become a difference maker, not only in terms of his on-field performance, but the way he carries himself and demeanor. And he's always had that fiery streak and that competitive streak. But you talk to different people, what's really grown over the years is his ability to interact with his teammates in positive ways, even in negative or difficult situations. And that's really an important asset to have, because over 162 games, things are going to go bad. You're going to have times where things look bleak and things are really difficult. And being able to relate to your teammates in a way that helps them, you know, overcome those trying times. Not a lot of guys can do that really effectively. So to have that, particularly behind the plate, with a pitching staff that's trending younger and younger, I think that's going to be really important for the Blue Jays. So, you know, there are a lot of things that I think Blue Jay fans are going to come to embrace about Martin. And now it really comes down to his ability to perform to the level that he's shown in recent years.
Shai, talk to me a little bit about why the Jays would have interest in Torii Hunter. Because Alex was clear yesterday, they don't have any free agent offers out there, but we do hear that they have talked a couple of times with Larry Reynolds and Pat Murphy, Torii Hunter's agents. What interest would the Jays have in Torii Hunter?
Well, he's still a productive guy, and it's not a market that's rife with tremendous options. And, you know, given Hunter's age, you can get a shorter term, so you don't necessarily have to make the same commitment that you might have to some of the other free agents that are out there. And it's interesting because, you know, Martin really addresses him. This isn't the primary reason they got him, but, you know, the Blue Jays seem to be intent on changing the dynamics in their clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Martin does that, and Torii Hunter is a guy who has a very good reputation too, and has helped steer young players in positive directions. You think back to his time with the Minnesota Twins, and you know how he used to get on Justin Morneau at certain points in time when he was a young player, and helped him mature into the big league player that he eventually became. So I think the Blue Jays have some interesting guys who bring that dynamic too, and Torii Hunter certainly does that, but they're also going to need some production out of left field because, mm-hmm. you know, Russell Martin maybe, you know, compensates for Melky Cabrera's offense, but you still have to make up for what Adam Lind provided.
And the interesting thing with Torii Hunter too is, as a right-handed bat, he has he's done pretty well against right-handed pitching. I mean, he's been pretty consistent. Even last year, I'm looking at his age right now in Baseball Reference. What was he last year? 39.
Yeah.
He was 39 last year. He still hit .278 against right-handed pitching, which is right there with his career average against right-handed pitching. So it's not as if, as he's gotten older, there's been a drop-off. And I think we both agree that the one thing the Jays are probably going to need in this lineup is they're going to need to do a better job. They're going to need, if not a left-handed hitter in there, they're going to need a right-handed hitter who hits righties pretty well, because with if Melky goes and Rasmus is gone, and even with Ghost not there, you're down two left-handed bats and a switch hitter.
Right, and you know, it's also the impact left-handed bat, the guy who could equalize against the really elite right-handed pitcher, and the guy who can maybe split Batista and Encarnacion. That's really lacking, and you know, it's no guarantee he ends up on the team, but maybe Justin Smoke can deliver that in mm-hmm. some ways. But I don't know that you'd feel good about going into the season counting on him to be that presence. So I really think they need a left-handed bat there, or at least a switch hitter with some pop, and just to balance things out and to make it more difficult on the opposing manager in terms of late-inning bullpen matchups and things like that. You want to have the ability to really make things challenging on your opponents. And right now, you can, if they're going to end up being as right-handed dominant as it seems, I don't know that that's ideal under any circumstances.
What do you think where do you see this team going with Andrew Miller? We know they have an interest in him. I've been told he's the guy that they are going to target. They think that they might be able to get it done at the winter meetings. Andrew Miller's agent has indicated to a couple of people that he does not want to go into the holiday season without knowing where he is. Where do you think the Jays would go with Andrew Miller? Because I know that they think they can get him for 3 years. They think that if the AAV is right, 3 years might get it done. I mean, there are people out there saying you're going to have to offer him a Papelbon contract, and some people will say maybe even 5 years. I don't know if that happens. Where do you see the Jays going with him, though?
It's a good question, and I wonder, you look at the Zach Duke deal the White Sox just signed, the 3 at 15, and, that's not even a baseline for him, but that, to me, just pushes up the minimum for Andrew Miller because of how dominant he's been. So you'd have to think Andrew Miller is easily, if Zach Duke's 5, Miller's easily 7, if not more, a year, right? So it depends on where the relief market is going to go. And I wonder how David Robertson plays into all this, because David Robertson is the top dog in that market. And does the Miller camp wait for Robertson to sign and then, say, okay, well, this is closer 1A on the market, then, if Robertson gets X, then he should be getting Y, or does he hold back a bit longer? That I'm not sure how they play that out. But the one advantage for teams shopping for bullpen help is that there is a glut of it on the market, in varying degrees of quality, obviously. But you have a lot of options, and there are a lot of really reasonable bounce-back candidates out there. So if you get to the point where you don't want to spend the money on just the one guy, then you're going to have options to say, okay, well, let's, instead of spending, say, 7-8 on one guy a year, let's grab 3 guys at 3 mil each and hope to cash in on one of them.
Shai, it was great of you to join us today. Good work.
Oh, thanks, man. Anytime.
Take care. That is Shai Davidi, our MLB insider and Sportsnet, joining the Jeff Blair Show. Shai and Ben Nicholson-Smith, we're all over the Russ Martin signing and the fallout of the Russ Martin signing. Shai's got a great piece on Alex Anthopoulos' pursuit of Russell Martin. And I've got to tell you, I knew that Russ Martin was the guy they were focusing on, but reading Shai's piece, I was surprised at just how aggressive Alex was in going after this guy. I mean, the only free agent I can remember the Jays, since I've been here in, 2000, the only free agent I can remember the Jays being that aggressive and going after was A.J. Burnett. I mean, they moved heaven and earth to try to get A.J. Burnett signed here in terms of trips by the general manager to visit the guy. And I think R.A. Dickey, Alex had a couple of visits with R.A. Dickey, and they really kind of pressed the issue with R.A. Dickey. Other than that, and R.A. Dickey at the time, it was about an extension. It wasn't about a free agent contract. Other than that, Shai mentioned Anibal Sanchez has been a guy that the Jays have taken a real run at twice. And in both occasions, Anibal Sanchez's agent wanted to slow play the market a little bit, and that wasn't going to fit in with the Jays with their plans for the season. So Russell Martin has signed. 5 years, $82 million. You saw the news conference yesterday. I mean, your initial reaction. I want to come up with something a little more specific. I like doing specific questions here. I'm not a big fan of just, hey, Russ Martin, 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. You know, I may do that today. What was your general sense? Because I think a lot of people knew who Russell Martin was. Obviously, if you're a baseball fan, you were familiar with his body of work. You've seen him on TV a lot. But did you see something yesterday that surprised you? Was there something you weren't, either you heard or you saw or something your intuition tells you? Was there something out there that surprised you about yesterday's news conference, about the announcement? And where do you think, now that Alex has kind of broken radio silence, right? Now that you heard a little more from Alex Anthopoulos about his future plans, and those plans do not include Pablo Sandoval or John Lester, how do you feel about it? Where do you think Alex goes? I think Alex showed his hand a little more yesterday than he normally does. There's no free agent offers out there. Deonner Navarro will be traded. I've been told that could happen very soon. So what was your takeaway from that news conference? Just a general sense. Anything surprise you? Anything make you happy? Not happy? 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. On social media, as always, use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SN Jeff Blair. John Paul Morosi, national baseball writer for Fox Sports. He'll join us at 10:35, by the way, and we will get a sense from John Paul Morosi as to what this market may be like for Deonner Navarro. Matt in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, morning, Jeff. I was wondering whether or not the Martin signing is something that Jose and Alex had talked about, bringing in a guy, obviously the talent is there, but who can keep up with Jose's intensity. And I was mentioning to your producer that you talk about the guys who have left, and I'm not in the clubhouse, but seemingly Colby and Lind are, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of flatliners, whereas Martin brings in an intensity that can be matched by the true leader in the clubhouse in Jose, and I see that as being a positive.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I have to admit, I did not realize. Yeah, I knew that Russ Martin and Jose Bautista both went to Chipola Junior College. I, honest to God, I did not know they were teammates. I didn't know that their classes crossed over. And one of the most pleasant things I took away was, you know, this guy has already been in contact with Jose Bautista. You know, he said when he was in Tampa getting his medical done, they'd already been in contact. And I really think, well, if you're bringing in a guy like Russ Martin and he coexists with Jose Bautista, I see the forming of a leadership group there. Because I'll tell you what, R.A. Dickey's a man unto himself. You know, I think there's a sense that he never really meshed with a lot of guys in this team or hasn't really meshed with a lot of guys in this team. I think Russ Martin, a guy who's comfortable in both camps. He's a guy, when he was with the Dodgers, he was a guy who would mix with the Latino players. He would mix with the African Americans. He would mix, you know, with the white players. He's known as a guy who can move. And a lot of it, frankly, I think comes from the fact that, you know, he comes from a multicultural background. He was known as a guy who was comfortable with a variety of personalities and a variety of backgrounds. And I think that's going to be a real bonus in this clubhouse.
Agreed.
Appreciate the call. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. The other thing I'm wondering about Russell Martin signing is, it reminded a lot of people who were around the Jays a lot more than I was back in the day. It reminded them of the aggressiveness the Jays showed in Clemens going after Roger Clemens and Paul Molitor and Dave Winfield. And yeah, a lot of that was Pat Gillick, but a lot of that was also Paul Beeston, who's still president and CEO of the team. A lot of that was Beeston kind of driving things a little bit. And one of the things I know about Paul Beeston from talking to people like just who've worked with him, is that he's a good guy to have as your wingman when you're closing out a deal. You know, Paul can talk to anybody about anything. And I found it interesting that Alex really went out of his way to thank Paul in yesterday's news conference. And Alex isn't a name dropper. If Alex thanks you and is as effusive in his praise of you as he was of Beeston in the news conference yesterday, that tells you something. I was surprised at how this organization went balls to the wall to get Russell Martin. I didn't expect that. I'm pleased with it, but I didn't expect it. Chris in Toronto, you're in the Jeff Blair Show. What was your takeaway from the Russell Martin news conference yesterday? What did you see that you really liked, or what did you hear maybe from Alex Anthopoulos you liked, or frankly, maybe concerned you?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Jeff. I got a few points.
Sure.
I like the fact that Russell didn't shy away from the fact that the 5 years meant a lot to him. A lot of guys won't mention the contract and they just talk about wanting to be there. Well, he was open and honest about the fifth year meant a lot to him. I also like the fact that he talked about being, he talked about it as a, from a team perspective. He really does seem like a team first kind of guy. I like the fact that he talked about getting to work on video and checking out these young pitchers. One thing I didn't hear mentioned, though, and maybe you have heard it, is he going to get the opportunity to catch Dickey this year, or is it still going to be Tolley?
If Ari Dickey is here.
Good point.
If Ari Dickey is here, they'll let Russ Martin catch him in spring training. They don't want Josh Tholey. They have him for one reason and one reason only, because he can catch R.A. Dickey. I mean, he gives you absolutely nothing offensively. He's a wasted roster spot. I can't put it any other way.
I agree 100% with you.
And let me just say this. The thing about Russ Martin is think about the guys who have caught R.A. Dickey since he was here. Okay, Josh Tholey, who can catch him. You know, they had Henry Blanco here who could catch a knuckleball. But J.P. Arencibia couldn't do a good job catching guys who were throwing 95 miles an hour straight down the middle. He had no chance at catching Russ Martin. And the one thing about Russell Martin, and I mentioned this in Sportsnet.ca yesterday in a column I did, the one thing about him is if you go back and read about some of the details, some of the things the Pittsburgh Pirates pitchers said about Russ Martin, the one thing they all said is he's got very, very quick hands. You know, they talked about how Russ would intentionally set up in the wrong location for a batter and then switch to the right location faster than anybody else in order to, whether to trick a guy at second base or if he thought that the batter was peaking to throw him off. He's got very quick hands, very soft hands. He's got very fast reflexes behind the plate. And that makes me think that he's probably better equipped physically to handle R.A. Dickey than anybody else. But I've got to tell you, I really think that R.A. Dickey is a guy that the Jays are going to put out in the market to try to address some of their needs, because I understand what Alex is doing. Alex isn't going to tip his hand all the time, but let's be realistic here. The Jays cannot start Kevin Pillar and Andy Dierks and Dalton Pompey. They can't have some sort of combination of those three playing left field and center field and pretend that they're going to contend for a playoff spot. That ain't going to happen. They need at least one more outfielder, probably one and a half outfielders if you want to put it that way. They need another infielder. I'm told that if Deonor Navarro gets traded, they would like to add a first baseman so that they could use Edwin as a DH more often. Now, maybe they go after a guy like Adam LaRoche of the Washington Nationals, who apparently has got a 2-year, $20 million offer on the table from the Marlins. I'm just throwing a name out there, a guy like that. I'm not saying they go after him, but that type of a hitter. I think Shai is right that one thing we do know is when they sit down, when Alex and the Jays sit down at the end of the offseason, they have to have at least one more impactful left-handed bat someplace. They have to. And when I look around this team, who do you trade to get that commodity? Well, I don't think you're going to trade Mark Burley, because Mark Burley has become so important to Marcus Stroman and to Aaron Sanchez. I think a lot of people in this city really underestimated the importance of Mark Burley in that clubhouse. And Mark Burley's the type of guy, if you're trying to build a good clubhouse dynamic, Mark Burley's a great guy to have as your lieutenant, right? Mark Burley's a great guy to have as part of your leadership core. So I look around this team and I say, all right, who could they trade to make themselves better? I mean, maybe somebody loses their mind and wants Jose Reyes. I don't see that happening. Where do you go? What do you move to make yourself better? You got a lot of left-handed relievers, but you're not going to get an impact guy for Brett Cecil. You've got R.A. Dickey. If we operate under the assumption you don't want to trade your young arms, and if you wouldn't trade your young arms at the trade deadline last year with a shot at a playoff spot, you certainly can't be thinking of moving them in the offseason right now. So what do you have to trade? It keeps getting back to R.A. Dickey. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, when people talk about Russell Martin being able to catch a knuckleball, I don't even worry about that right now, Because there's a long way to go before we've got to worry about seeing Russell Martin and R.A. Dickey on the field at the same time. Tom in Waterloo, you're on the Jeff Blair Show. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
I guess you're asking for a word. I don't know, maybe control, like a calm, controlled.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got that. I just got that feeling with him. He just seems like a...
You know what he is? He's a smart kid. He's traveled a lot. You know, we know about his family background. His dad's a jazz saxophone player. He's played in clubs. He's played in the subway system in Montreal. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, plays the saxophone, earns a living doing that. I know I've talked to Russell in the past. He and his dad, a few summers ago, they went over to Europe and they just kind of schlepped around. You know, they went to Paris. His dad played the saxophone and a couple of clubs would get up, hey, you know, jazz saxophonist. Get up and play in a couple of clubs, played in the Paris Metro. Russell kind of tootled off around Paris. He's a guy who's very comfortable living out of a backpack and very comfortable culturally in a variety of circumstances. There's a lot of kind of life lessons that Russell Martin has absorbed, and now he's managing to put them in practice as a catcher. Let's see what the market is for D'Honor Navarro. Jean-Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. He'll join the Jeff Blair Show at 10:40.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, so I got the time wrong, but I got the guy right. I think I said Jean-Paul Morosi's coming on at 9:40. I meant 9:40 Central Time. That's for you, Joshua. House 4545. That's right, I checked Twitter. Eric Smith, the play-by-play voice of the Raptors, will join us at 11 o'clock Eastern. We get you set for the Raptors and Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Jory Mittelstadt, host of The Bottom Line, presented by BetTheGreek.net. He will join us at 11:15 Eastern. And at 11:40 Eastern, Craig Forrest of Soccer Central will join us as we look ahead to the weekend in the Premiership. I can tell that we have Jean-Paul Morosi in the line because Travis is chatting with him. Probably discussing the Red Wings, life, Michigan State, his family, Travis's trip. GM meetings. Thank you, Derek. GM meetings, probably talking about that. They'll be chatting. Yeah, they're still chatting. John will be asking him more about the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings. And Travis will finally get him through, which he's done. Hello, Mr. Morosi. There's no Mr. Morosi here. There's no Jean-Paul Morosi. Well, now there's a Jean-Paul Morosi. What's up?
I'm doing very well, Jeff. My first question to you is...
I don't want to talk about hockey. I don't want to talk about hockey.
I'm not going to talk about hockey. I promise. Right. My question to you is how good was your French yesterday translating for that Alex Anthopoulos, Russell Martin press conference?
You know what? It was okay. What I liked about Russell is Russell dropped some of the colloquialisms. He kind of... You know, it wasn't just like, he referred to his fiance or his girlfriend as my blonde and stuff like that. It was kind of good. That was okay. I could get it. I could get my way through it. Great? I got to tell you, what was great was Twitter when Russell Martin was asked in French about catching the knuckleball. And he responded calling it ball de papillon. And immediately people, Twitter's alight. Who the hell knew that the French word for butter or for knuckleball was belle de papillon? And it was like an entire country learned something.
I love it. Well, that means butterfly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ball of butter?
Yeah.
Ball of butterfly. All right. My wife is sitting next to me right now, Jeff, and she, of course, has some French-Canadian heritage, and even she knew that.
That's
pretty good.
You know what's amazing, and this is, now I'm going to get off topic a little bit, but one of the reasons that I've always said that Jacques Doucet should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Should be in the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. Is, you know, first of all, he's a terrific broadcaster with, you know, a voice from the gods. But beyond that, he and the guys that sort of helped create the mythology around the Expos right from the beginning, they had to make up words, or they had to come up with phrases. They had to describe things that weren't common use, you know, words that weren't commonly said in the French language. And it was really remarkable.
He created his own baseball glossary in French.
Exactly.
He got to invent it. How about that? You get to invent your own terminology for a sport in that language, which I think is amazing. And I agree with you. He should be in the Hall of Fame. And hopefully, Jeff, I know you and I are on the same page here. Hopefully that ceremony will occur once the Expos return, which, who knows, maybe it'll happen in the next few years. You never know.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. We're joined by John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports. All right, to the business at hand. Alex Anthopoulos said yesterday that he is going to try to move D'Honor Navarro. He's told D'Honor that. He didn't guarantee him that they would move him for anything, but he said, look, we understand that you've got a year left in your contract. We understand that you want to go someplace where you can, if not be the number one guy, certainly catch a lot of games. You're not going to get those games with Russell Martin here. What would the market be like for a guy like D'Honor Navarro, and what do you think are some of the potential destinations for him?
Well, I think there would be some market, Jeff. He's not a frontline catcher, obviously. That's why the Jays signed Russell Martin, but I think he's a good catcher. I think he's a solid catcher, especially at the money that he's going to make. It's a pretty reasonable expense. I could even see a team like the Tigers, for example. They're having some questions about, even after picking up Alex Avila's option, if they're going to even bring him back necessarily or potentially trade him. So I think Navarro could be a fit there for the Tigers. There's a number of other teams that are sort of in that general marketplace. You never know about the Cubs. Of course, we know they were in on Russell Martin as well. The Seattle Mariners, I think they're looking at maybe upgrading that position as well. So there's enough of a scarcity of catching that a guy that can hit on a level that Navarro can, or at least has in the past, I think is going to be in demand on a certain level. So I think there's going to be a market there for him. But I'd almost think, Jeff, that they have to figure out what they're going to be able to get back for him, and from the standpoint of what needs they can fill. Because we know one thing the Jays have to do between now and spring training, they've got to figure out their closing situation. They've got to figure out their eighth inning situation, and probably even a little bit on left field. So you have to really match up with a team that can satisfy one of those needs, because right now, as it stands, I do expect the Jays to be very involved in that marketplace for closers and maybe even left field as well.
John Paul Morosi joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Who do you think is the next free agent to fall here?
Well, among the big ones, Jeff, I think it's going to be probably John Lester and or Pablo Sandoval. And we know there's a report from Nick Cafardo in Boston saying that Lester obviously has that offer in hand from the Red Sox at 6 years and between $110 and $120 million. So the AAV there is going to be probably around $20 million, if in fact that's where he goes. I think the Cubs are still heavily involved. I still believe at the end of the day, Jeff, Lester is going to go to either the Cubs or the Red Sox because of the familiarity that he has there with obviously Boston having played there before and the Cubs with the Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer combination. So I think those are probably the two teams that are most in there on Lester. And Sandoval, meanwhile, I think the Red Sox are a factor there as well. I would be surprised still if he went somewhere besides Boston or San Francisco, given the fact that obviously he's got the comfort level in San Francisco and the Red Sox have that extreme need at third base for a batter just like Sandoval. So I think that those are probably the two teams that are most involved on Sandoval. There was a report last night about the Padres. I would have a hard time seeing that, Jeff. I think that Sandoval's probably going to go to Boston or San Francisco. But the Padres are an interesting team, and my colleague Ken Rosenthal wrote about that today at FoxSports.com about the fact that the Padres, you know, a relatively new owner, relatively new GM, they want to spend some money and make a splash, and that's why we've heard them linked so much to Yasmani Tomas, the latest Cuban defector to come over that there's so much hype about. I think Tomas could be a possibility for the Padres, depending on if they feel confident enough in his ability to play the outfield as opposed to being a DH.
John, what do you think the market will be like for Andrew Miller? He's a guy that we know that the Blue Jays are interested in, and in fact, I mean, I've been told, the same people that told me that they were going to focus on Russell Martin, that Andrew Miller's the next guy. He's the free agent they go after. What do you think? How do you think that market shakes out?
Well, it's interesting, Jeff. I think that he's going to set a record for a non-closing relief pitcher, and he has never been a closer. I think that's important to note. I would be, if I'm the Jays, I'd be reluctant to sign him with the idea that I was going to make him my closer simply because he's never done it before. And I know there is that certain school of thought among the statistical community that really any great relief pitcher late in the ball game can close. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that Andrew Miller has not closed for a reason. I think he's better in a setup role. That's just better for his makeup. I think that's been his comfort level in the last couple of years. So I would be comfortable signing Miller if I felt like I could probably have him be the eighth inning guy in the same Wade Davis role that the Royals had him in. I think Miller's great in the eighth inning. I would go with him there, but I would be really reluctant to close with him just because he hasn't done it before. I think that if you're going to get Miller, I'd almost like to see them get a combination and potentially add in maybe a K-Rod or a Rafael Soriano as well.
Before we let you run, FoxSports.com, the website, interesting article on the Cincinnati Reds. And a lot of people have kind of spent the early portions of the offseason sort of almost expecting the Reds to really look at overhauling that roster, and it appears now as if that may be the case. Do you expect to see the Reds be really active in the trade market? Because, I mean, they're one team, John, they match up well with a lot of teams, but boy, it's almost like a dovetail matchup with the Blue Jays.
They would, and we know one thing, Jeff, they certainly have an excess of pitching that's all coming up at the end of this season. When you talk about, obviously, Latos, Cueto, who is a Cy Young finalist, Leak, Alfredo Simon, all those guys are eligible for free agency after the season. And I think the Reds are trying to find a way to take away how leveraged they are with respect to those four guys hitting free agency all at the same time. So I think they do want to flip one of those guys for a bit younger pitcher. Would there be a match between, let's say, a Leak for a Drew Hutchison, something like that, where they could get a guy that's a little bit more of a earlier on his service time clock? There may be some matches there. The one thing the Reds need to do, if they're going to go for it and try to win this year, is they have to get some more power and stability in left field. They've been looking for power at that spot for years, and they have not figured that out yet. So I think they can still compete. They can still win, I think, in that division, even if they trade one of these starting pitchers. But it all depends on what they get back. I think they would not necessarily be getting back young prospects. I think it's more of the that next group of guys that's a little bit younger in the service time area. Somebody like a Stroman is what they would want, but I don't see the Jays giving them up. As we know, he was their best pitcher down the stretch. So I think that's the type of guy they're going to be asking for. But you're right. Even Ken Rosenthal reported about the fact that Jay Bruce has been the subject of trade conversations, which is a little bit surprising. So I think the bottom line for that team is, Jeff, they have to find a way to get Votto back on the field and Phillips back on the field. When those guys are healthy, they have a plenty good lineup, a plenty good rotation to win. But I do agree that's going to be a club that does a lot of tweaking. I would expect them to trade one starting pitcher, but probably not two.
John, I'm going to let you run. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sounds great, Jeff. My pleasure. Mon plaisir. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Mon plaisir. Take care. It's John Paul Morosi. What is he? Quintilingual? Five? I think he speaks like five languages. I believe it's Spanish, Italian. Could drop a little Francais in there, English, and some other language as well. Anyhow, we appreciate John Paul Morosi, as always, joining the Jeff Blair Show. Your Raptors, they play the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Then they get to go to Cleveland to play Tristan Thompson and the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow night. And the Cavaliers have that, that other guy that plays for them as well. We will have the Cavs and Raps on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, tomorrow night. Eric Smith, who will have the call of that game, joins us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.